verses 3 through 9. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, It is lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. That they unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement, and to put her away? And he said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, also committeth adultery.
What a good-looking crowd. Good-looking crowd. Appreciate everyone for being here. We do have visitors with us, and we're so honored that you're here. And we invite you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Don't answer this out loud, but I've got a question for you. On this earth, what is most important to you? If you had to narrow it down to one thing, what is most important to you on this earth? I got to thinking about that this week, and a lot of things went through my head, things I think is important. It depends on really what you're talking about, what area you want to talk about, but I'm talking about the single most important thing. What is it? Looking back at Norris, looking around, first time I don't know if the first time I ever met him, first time I ever heard Norris. We was at a ball game. I don't know if it was Shane, Chansey, or Ben, or Tanner. It had to be one of the older ones. Something happened out on the football field, and I heard this deep voice. That's my boy. Just screamed it out just as loud as he could, and I said, Who is that? And I looked down there, and I wanted to meet that man. Got to be good friends. So I know one thing is important to Norris is his family. His family is important. What is it that's most important to you on this earth? Yesterday, my mother-in-law tried to kill me. She didn't mean to, but she did. She moved. She moved from Trevant to Milan, and oh, I can't believe one person has that much stuff. If it hadn't been for some of y'all that helped me yesterday, I probably wouldn't be here today. She's my favorite mother-in-law, though. And that's why I help her. You know, my family is important to me, too. About four times a year, we try to all get together. We try to all come together in one place. Annie and Charlie and their kids and all of our family and Gina and her kids. Everybody comes together. It's about 20-something of us. We're growing a little bit as we go along. So we all get together, and I look forward to that so much because I love family. The challenge, however, today, and we talked about it a little bit this morning in class, the challenge today for each one of us is our family in this world. Last week, we talked about raising a G-rated family in an R-rated world. The challenge for us today is taking our family in the world that we live and the challenges that we have, and I'm not going to get on politics, and I'm not going to talk about how bad things are today, because we all know that we're being challenged. Mankind is being challenged. Christianity is being challenged today. But the hard thing for us today is to take our families and move them along in this world, being close, being loving, and being a Christian family. Because that's what I want more than anything else, is that my family be faithful to God. And I don't have that. I don't have that 100% in my family. And probably in most cases we don't when we look at our families. Sometimes everybody can't look and say everybody is faithful, committed to God, and they're living a Christian life. And it hurts us, don't it? It hurts us when we think about our loved ones that they have maybe never accepted Jesus as their Savior and been obedient, being baptized for the remission of their sins, or maybe they have, and later on in life or at some point in their life, they walk away from God and they're looking back and they don't seem to care anymore. And it hurts. It hurts because if I had one wish, it would be that my family would all stay faithful to God, and that someday we'd all be in heaven together. That's complete to me. Yesterday, Debbie and Darren was up, and they was helping us move yesterday, and we were saying our goodbyes, and I was down and couldn't hardly get up. Darren come by and shook my hand, my brother-in-law, and we thanked each other, and he told me to hurry up and get to the doctor and find out what all was going on with me and let him know. I said, oh, I'll be fine. But I asked him to do something for me yesterday, and I'm not saying this for sympathy or for anybody to think anything besides what I'm fixing to tell you. I told him, I said, I don't think nothing's wrong, but I said, if something ever happens to me, and it will someday, I looked at Darren, I said, take care of my family. Look after my family. Because there's nothing more important to me than my wife and my son and my grandkids and my family. He looked at me, he said, I will. I said, I want you to know that. Help them with the struggles they have in life. Our families are most important, and God set up the home. The problem today is too many people are not taking the blueprint that God give us. You see, God laid it out, and he said, this is the home. And he intended for us to be happy, and he wanted us to be happy, and he wanted us to be loving, and he wanted us to care for one another. Because if you go back and if you have your Bibles, I hope that you do, turn to Genesis chapter 1 and also chapter 2. We're going to look at just a few verses there. God built the home. He gave us a blueprint to follow. Many is not following it. You look at verse 27 of chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. You look over the very next chapter, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed. Think about verse 27 there. Think about how happy God was that as he looked back in creation, and in verse 27, God created man in his own image. You know, I'm not perfect. I try not to act like I am. I know I fail. I know I make mistakes. I disappoint people. I hurt people's feelings. I don't always stand where I need to stand. I slip up. I fall. I've got fault in my life. But there's one thing I want for my son sitting over here and my two grandkids. I want to know that they have patterned their life after Christ. I want somehow in my teaching and my living that hopefully they can see Christ somehow in me and my actions and the way that I live, the way that I teach, and the way that I stand. And I want that mold, if there's anything good in me, I want that mold to carry on to Daniel, then to Jay Cruz and to Ella, and be generation after generation after generation, in the sense that the Rogers, my family, is one that always stood for the Lord and they were committed to God each day of their life. And that's what God meant here. He created man in his own image. And it was important to him that this family, this home, would be happy. You know, you think about what we read thus far in the Bible up to this point. I don't know that they had briars and thorns and things that would hurt them before this point, but they certainly had it after it. After Adam and Eve fell, after they allowed sin in their life, once they introduced sin into their home, they had problems. There was pain and there was suffering and there was grief that come along with that, and that God never intended for it to be that way. He wanted them to be happy. Look at verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. When we think about Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, he created man in his image. He took a rib from man and made woman. That's found in chapter 2, verses 21 through 23 there, or verse 22, and how he instituted the home. And he said a man shall leave his father and his mother, and he's going to hold on to his wife. You leave what you know, you leave the family, the mom and dad, and you go here and you make a new home. And you hold on to each other, and you love each other, and you help that helpmeet, you help and you support each other through this life. And it's important that you do that. Now we could stop right here and we could preach three or four different sermons out of this one verse, and don't panic, I'm not going to. But in verse 24, first of all, you could make an argument because he said cleave to his wife, not a girlfriend. Or a boyfriend, whichever way you want to say that. What's going on today in our world today? Let's stop just a minute. What's going on in our world today? People are living with each other. Instead of choosing a mate, dating, growing to love each other, asking a woman to marry you, people have decided, they went away from God's blueprint here, and they decided instead of getting married and taking a chance on failing, let's just move in together. What do they call it? Let's see if we're compatible. Ain't that what we hear today? Hear from people today? Let's see if we're compatible with each other. So let's take God's blueprint and let's lay it aside and let's just move in with each other. So Charles, there's one sermon we could preach. We could talk a long time about how important it is that we marry, and you could go there and you could talk to young people and older people that's dating and goes on and commits fornication outside of marriage. It's the same principle. Whether you're living together or whether you're just dating, if you go out and you have that sexual relationship with each other outside of marriage, you're going away from the blueprint that God had laid out. And we look back at Adam and Eve and we think to ourselves, boy, they really blew it. They had things like they should have it, and I wouldn't have eaten that apple for nothing in the world. Y'all ever thought about that? If God would have told me that you could have all of this in this garden and life is going to be great. Tim, just don't leave this tree alone. John Henry, I'd have walked all the way around, stayed away from that tree. Ain't that easy to look back and say that? Because we was not challenged with that. We didn't face that. But how many times today do we look and we blame them, and today we're still going against that blueprint that God laid before us? But folks, there's people everywhere that takes the vow that we should have within marriage, and we take it to everyday relationships. Then another sermon we could preach here would be on homosexuality. And we're really getting away from God's blueprint. God said it is not good that man should be alone. Therefore, I'm going to make him a companion, a helpmeet for him. He made man woman, that they, in verse 24, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Look at what's going on today. We wonder what's wrong with our homes. We wonder what's wrong with our family. I wish more people could be committed and say that the one thing I want more than anything else in life is to take my family from where we're at right now and move them throughout time and someday be in heaven together. Because, folks, if we're not saying that this morning about our families, we have the wrong goals in our life. We have our priorities wrong. I don't care where you work, what your hobbies are, what you do, what you think's most important. If we cannot honestly say the most important thing to me is my family and us being in heaven someday, you need to stop where you're at. And you need to look around at what's going on in our world and say, I've got to do something. I may not be able to save everybody in the whole world. I may not be able to protect everyone. I may not be able to stand up and preach to everybody in the whole world, but I at least can preach and teach and guide and direct my family because it's most important to me. God built the home. He knew that it would not be good for man to be alone. And he made woman, and woman was supposed to come together and them cleave together. And now I don't have to do it alone. I've got Wendy. And Wendy is going to help me. Help me take my family to heaven. Now, unfortunately, everybody don't have that. There are broken homes. There are men that their wives do not want to be faithful to God, and there are vice versa the other way. We have broken homes. We have homes that get divorced, and children are being passed back and forth, and different things are going on in their life. So everybody does not have the luxury that some of us have today, and that a husband and wife are trying to move everyone together. So the challenge gets even greater for those people. But it's still not something that we quit. We've got to fight, and we've got to take our family where they need to be. It's worth the effort. Second thing I think we need to think about, I'm looking up at the clock, and I want us to finish this morning. God built a home, and he also had a plan for each home. Now, man has changed God's plan. I was talking to someone this last week that's actually going through a divorce. Not anyone that anybody knows here, I don't think. Maybe a few of you may know. But he went into great detail telling me when his family, when his relationship with his wife began to go the wrong direction. And he brought up something that was very interesting. He got to talking about when he was raised, how his mother and daddy acted, and how that mom was one who took care of the home and always knew that mom was there for him, and how that dad worked and different things went on. And I sat and listened to this person. I listened to this person as he explained to me when he realized his home was being destroyed, and he looked at me and said, Tim, the one thing I've got to know is what could I have done to prevent this? And he's hurting. He's hurting because he looks and he knows that God had a plan for his home, and he wanted his family, he wanted his home to stay together, and he got pulled away from him. But what is the plan that God has for your home? Have you stopped and thought about that? You know, Don McWhorter, a gospel preacher, wrote this, without consulting man, God planned the home for mankind's benefit and well-being, listen, for the glory of God. God planned all this, and the reason he planned it was for the glory of God. Not for ourselves or not for someone else. God had intended for these families, these homes, to be what they should be and bring glory to God each and every day of their life. And I fix to move on to the third and final point, but I want to ask this question. God, looking at our homes, and he does, God sees in our homes every day. He sees how I conduct myself as a father, a husband, a grandfather, and Wendy, and put yourself there, you know where I'm going with that. He looks in your home, and he sees that. Nars I'm not picking on you. When God looks at your home and don't answer me, is your home bringing glory to God? Nick, is your family bringing glory to God? That was God's plan. And folks, we've got to get to where we're doing that if we're not. Putting God first in everything. And then finally, God has a place in each one of our homes. He made it, He had a plan, and He has a place in it. Too many people today is taking this blueprint that we talked about. He's taking the blueprint and he's pushed it aside and he says, I don't have a place for God in my home today. You know why a lot of people don't have a place for God in their home? Because they're ashamed of the way they're living. We don't want God in our homes because we're ashamed of things that we do and the things that goes on in our home. Maybe the movies that we watch or the things that we do or drink or partake in our homes, or maybe the relationships that we have in our homes. We're ashamed to have God there. I'll never forget growing up, and you still hear it often today, well, if you were, no matter where you're at in life, if Jesus came back, would you be happy for Jesus to see you with where you're at? I remember Bobby McGregor whenever we was growing up, and he used to teach me and David and Stan and Steve and different ones at Atwood. And I remember one thing that we used to talk about in there. He said, you need to think about where you go and what you do. For an example, if you were sitting down here at the bar across the railroad tracks and the Lord came back and you saw Him coming, would you say, come on in, Lord, and sit down with me? I'm drinking a cold beer today. Or could you be living with someone in sin? And when the Lord comes back, say, come on in, Lord, and look at my girlfriend or my boyfriend or whatever the case may be. Do we bring glory to God in that way? You know, when Adam and Eve shut God out of their home by allowing the devil in their home, their only reward was this: heartache and problems. When they shut God out and allowed Satan in, it come with headache. Problems and troubles come in their family. Many of our family problems are there because God's been shut out of our homes. Well, Greg read a text for us this morning. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. You know, it's challenging because so many people today are from broken homes. But God's intention was this: that you choose your mate, and it be male and female. You choose that mate and you stay together until death parts you. That's why young people are such a big decision. You better think about who you're going to marry. Because you can find a preacher, it won't be this one. But you can find a preacher, you can find someone to tell you it doesn't matter. That if it don't work out, just get another one. That was not God's intention. If you think about what Greg read for us, it actually says the Pharisees was tempting Him, saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered, Jesus did, and said, have you not read that He which had made them at the beginning made them male and female? And He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two, or they twain, shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Then I got to challenge Him. He said, why was it that Moses allowed the writing of divorcement? Jesus said in verse 8, it is because of their attitude or their hardness of their heart that He suffered you to put away your wife. But listen to this, but from the beginning it was not so. You see, you can even go back to the Old Testament and see that they got away from the blueprint of God. We get to thinking more of ourselves and our feelings and the way that we want to be happy than we do about God and what His intentions are for us. I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, there's nothing that any of us should want more than anything else than to be right with God. And that goes to our home and that goes to our marriage relationships. I'm trying to think. I think it was Keith, and I'm not trying to throw Keith under the bus because I'm trying to brag on him for what he said. It's probably a misquote. But Keith stressed one time, and I'll never forget it if it was him. We don't need to use the Bible as a tool for ways to get out of things. And that's not how he worded it. But don't look at the Bible and try to justify the way that we're living. Take the Bible and say, this is the way I need to be living. Take it as a positive and run with it. Don't look for loopholes and say, hey, I can get out of it for this reason or that reason. Go forward with your life saying, I'm going to bring glory to God in everything that I do. And folks, it's got to start in our homes. And if it's not, start today. Decide today that I'm going to bring glory to God. Well, then in verse 9, he still wants that to be that way today. If you look back at Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9, he has not changed his mind. Whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marry another, committeth adultery. And whoever marrieth her, which is put away, committeth adultery. Compounds, don't it? This sin is a disease. And it compounds if we're not careful. When we go away from what God intended, we can find ourselves in a terrible hole. I was talking to someone this past Thursday. And they're in a terrible, terrible mess. And I looked at them, I said, do me a favor. I really didn't know how to help this person. I looked at this person, I said, stop digging. Just stop. Stop and pray and think this through. But don't keep digging this hole. Come back to God. Don't keep running away. This morning, if you're not a Christian, won't you become a child of God today?